68 verse 11. The Lord gave a word, and great is the multitude of them that published it, raising the people of grace and power with passion for the word and service, making a difference in their words. Attend Fresho Seminars with Tosin Afini and experience a grounding into the truth of the word of God. Fresho Seminars is an outreach to individuals, campuses, fellowships, and churches, positioned to revive, emancipate, empower, equip, and to mentor people to walk in greater maturity of the word of God, character, holiness, and anointing of the Holy Ghost through teachings and demonstration of the power of God. And for more inquiry, you can contact us on 080-2376-4285 or 080-2305-7084. You can also email us at myfreshword@gmail.com and our Facebook www.facebook.com/myfreshword. You can as well tweet at us at tfinney. Pray, plan, and prepare to attend Fresh Oil Seminars with Tosin Afini, and your life will never remain the same.
Precious Holy Spirit, thank you for honoring us with your presence. We welcome you to have your way in our lives. We welcome you to visit us personally. Visit us corporately. Let somebody be like the woman that met Jesus at the well. When she came with a vase to the, but when she left a burden behind. Let somebody leave Israel burden behind today. Lord, we pray for an undeniable and unrecoverable encounter. We look up to you, Jesus. We vow to give you the glory. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. Amen. God bless you. Can we be seated? Welcome to July edition of Fresh Oil Seminars. Thank you for being here. Thank you for creating the time to be here. Thank you for making the time to be here. We bless the name of the Lord. One, I want to apologize. The bulletin is not on ground yet. I think they experienced, they encountered some difficulties. So the guy is still telling me he will bring it in. So if it comes in, good. If not, we'll use it for the next edition. Secondly, also, I want to let us know that we have a channel, that's a Telegram channel, that you can access all the messages, all the past messages. Just do a search on Fresh Oil Seminars. You can access all the past messages through that place. So we are just loading everything there for people to be able to go there, pick up the messages, and be blessed as they go through it. The weekly prophetic word also is there. Everything is ours in that place. You can access also the messages on email radio, as we know, so that we can go back to what God has helped us to do in the past and to build on it. I want us to know that what we are doing is intentional. We are building precept upon precept, line upon line, trusting God that these materials will help us to grow. This material will help us to grow. As I often tell us, it's not a church. It's just a platform to be fed by the bread, to be impacted by the spirits, and to go out and serve in your various churches. Amen. So I want you to go after these things and let them bless your life. We are not selling them. While we used to print out CDs, if you could remember, it was always available for free. So now it's online. All it will cost you is your data. Download it and let it impact your life. And let it take you further in your journey with Jesus, in Jesus' precious name. Today we are starting a series, term Prevailing Prayers. Prevailing Prayers. It will be part one. Last edition, I gave us an assignment. How many of us did it? How many of us did it? Amen. Praise God. So from today and next edition, and if the Lord will allow, probably the next, I'll be spending some time to teach. Then we will do a lot of prayers. We're going to a lot of prayers. At least I'm trusting God for us to be able to spend at least 1 hour in the place of prayer. So I'll teach the word and we'll see how God gives us leading. So please, let's be open to it. We've been talking about prayers for more than a year now. I think we started with Men of Like Passion, part one, part two. Then we did The Altar and the Glory, part one, part two, I think part three. Then we did The Secret Place, part one to four. You know, so I want to create an atmosphere, which we started last edition when I gave us a prayer manual for us to go and engage ourselves in all night prayer. But I want to start a practical whereby we can spend time to pray. Not because we want to have an exercise, but because we want to encounter God. Because we want God to address the issues of our life. And we want God to minister to the issues that is confronting us. So today we start with the prevailing prayers. Please, if this block is blocking you, you can shift so that you can see me well. Because I too am finding it difficult to be looking at you. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's start up today. Jeremiah 29 verse 12 to 14. Jeremiah 29 verse 12 through 14. Can I read? He says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So there is a condition to find God. When you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from the nations and from the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place where I cause you to be carried away as captive. He says, and I will be found of you. So God is interested in we searching and finding him. Somebody called this the law of prayer. Meaning the law that ensures that not only will you search God, but you will know from beginning of your search that you are going to find God. So that gives you the confidence to keep searching, to keep pursuing, to keep looking until you find it. John chapter 16 verse 23 to 24. These are just the foundational scripture for what we want to go into. John 16, 23 to 24. John 16, 23 to 24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Then Matthew chapter 7 verse 7 and 8. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. The first scripture we read is Jeremiah 29, 12 to 14. Then John chapter 16, 23 to 24. Then Matthew 7, 7 to 8. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. It shall be open. Now these scriptures help us to understand that prevailing prayer is not about the effort you exert in prayer, but rather about securing answers in prayer. Meaning every time you pray, there is a promise to let you know that your prayer will secure an answer. Now, prayer is to a believer what capital is to a businessman. Prayer is to a believer what capital is to a businessman. It is a capital used for heaven, for the advancement of the kingdom of God on earth. Thus, the kingdom of God forcefully advance, prevailing in the place of prayer is not negotiable. For God's kingdom to advance forcefully, prevailing in the place of prayer, it's not a negotiable thing. Now, prayer is like turning on electric switch. It does not create the current. It simply provides a channel through which electricity may flow. So, to stand in prayer is to stand in power. Because prayer is the rail on which the locomotive of God's power moves. Prayer is the conveyor of the power of God. Prayer is the channel through which the power of God will flow. To stand in prayer is to stand in power. So prayer generates power. Power to prevail over yourself. Power to prevail over personal weaknesses. Power to prevail over weariness and distractions. Power to prevail over laziness and contemplacies. Power to prevail over spiritual weakness and carnality. Power to prevail over situation and contrary circumstances. Power to prevail over tendency to doubt God. Power to prevail over people, ideologies, philosophy, and vain imagination. Power to prevail over satanic agenda, conspiracy, and satanic vessels. Power to prevail over diabolical plots. Power to legislate transformation in lives and destiny. Power to enforce the will of heaven on earth, and power to bat a move of God that will depopulate hell and populate heaven. Prayer without power is fake. Prayer without power is fake. So, prayer generates power to prevail. There must be a prevailing over or a prevailing against. Where prayer does not generate power, then you have not achieved the objective. Because what changed the situation is not the prayer per se, but it is the power that is produced through the prayer. So prayer is not the end by itself, but rather it's a means to an end. It's a means to an end. For you to generate the power to prevail, you must pray. You must stay in the place of prayer. Prevailing prayer is the prayer that secures an answer from heaven at any cost. It secures an answer from heaven at any cost. It is the prayer that refuses to give up until the revealed will of God becomes experiential. A prayer that refuses to give up until the revealed will of God becomes experiential. It is a prayer that pays the price of persistency, doggedness, and secure unprecedented answer. It's the intensification of intercession. The intensification of intercession. You intercede until answer is received. Days interceding. Month interceding. Years interceding. Prevailing does not happen overnight. Meaning there are times you pray. A day you could prevail. But there are times, 2 days, you are still on the same matter. 1 month, you are still on the same matter. In fact, 1 year, you are still on the same matter. You are still on the same matter. Why? Once the will of God is known in prayer, you stay until answer is secured. So we are not praying just to exercise our muscle, just to sweat, just to feel the heat. No. Any prayer that does not secure answer is a waste of time. It's a waste of adventure. It's a waste of labor. Any prayer that does not deliver answer to a life is a waste of venture. Because prayer needs to make power available to deliver to you the desires of your heart. Beloved, as long as it takes, you stay in the place of prayer. Meaning, it is a platform to push. It is a platform to pray until something happens. So meaning, you say, Lord, I am not letting you go until I secure an answer. Once you know it is the will of God, it is your responsibility to camp with God until answer is secured. Now, the challenge with us is that we give up on time. We give up on time. You can imagine the man Jacob, after struggling all his life. In fact, we are told that his name is synonymous to struggle. Everything about him is struggled. He pursued a woman for 14 years. The first 7 years, they gave him somebody else. The second 7 years, he secured her. Then he did an extra 7 years. 21 years. 21 years. Struggle. But one day came. He stayed in the place of prayer. The Bible says, and Jacob was left alone. The issue of our generation is because people have been taught wrongly. Then people do not know how to stay. How to persevere. How to stand in the place of prayer until what you want is delivered to you. Please hear me. When God has given a yes, it is your responsibility to prevail against the powers that say no for you to secure that yes. It is your responsibility. It is your responsibility. A faith that makes God 100% responsible is an irresponsible faith. An irresponsible faith. So God's intention is for our prayers to secure divine answers. Blind Bartimaeus prevailed in prayer for the restoration of his sight and dignity. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. He prevailed and his sight was restored. The woman with the issue of blood prevailed in prayer over a terminal sickness. Luke chapter 8, 43 to 48. She prevailed. She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, were there resistance? Yes. Number one, there was a cultural resistance. In a state, she ought not to mix with people. In a state, she should not be where she was. So she needed to prevail against the cultural resistance. Number two, there was a crowd. A crowd that covered Jesus. She needed to prevail against the crowd and said, he doesn't need to talk to me. He doesn't need to turn to my side. If only I can touch. If only I can touch. I remember the story of a woman that was sick and they got to the hospital. And the doctor told the children, he said, take her home to die. He said, take her home to die. He said, there's nothing we can do. So the woman told them, he said, don't take me home. He said, take me to a camp. Take me to redemption camp. They says, mommy, there is no service today. He said, don't worry. Just take me to camp and help me to hold one of the pillar. Just help me to hold one of the pillar. He said, that is all. So they took her to camp and they guided her to a pillar. And she held the pillar. He said, if only I can touch. That was the end of her problem. She prevailed against doctor's report. She prevailed against terminal infirmity. She said, no, just take me there. And she held on and she secured are answered. The Syrophoenician woman prevailed and secured deliverance for her daughter. Mark chapter 7, 26 to 30. Mark 7, 26 to 30. She asked Jesus, said, deliver my daughter. Jesus said, no. Healing is the bread of the children. Healing is the bread of the children. She said, yes, I know, Lord. He said, even the dogs eat the crumbs on the floor. In fact, Jesus called her a dog. She did not mind. She said, have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. At that time, the Gentiles were not entitled to the sacrifice of Jesus. They were not entitled to a redemption package. But this woman, by her persistence, by her doggedness, by her audacity, by her audacious faith, what was meant for the future, she brought it to the present. She received what was meant to take place years after the death of Jesus. She received it in the present. Prevailed, and she secured an answer. Jacob prevailed with God for the preservation of his family and actualization of his ordained destiny. Genesis 32, 9 to 13 and 22 to 30. Genesis 32, 9 to 13 and 22 to 30. Jabez prevailed with God for a change of name and destiny. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 9 to 10. He said, if you can bless me, and bless me indeed, that you will enlarge my coast. He said, yes, my mother gave me the name Jabez. My mother gave me the name Sorrow. My mother gave me the name Disgrace. My mother gave me the name that has limited my destiny. My mother gave me the name that has frustrated my destiny. My mother gave me the name that has pegged my pursuit in life. He said, but if only thou will hear me and enlarge my coast and bless me indeed. And the Bible says, and the Lord acting unto the request of Jabez. Jabez secured answer to his prayer. He stayed. We didn't know how long he prayed that prayer. We didn't know if it was a day, or if it was a month, or if it was years. But Jabez stayed until his life became the testimony of his prayer point. It is a waste of time when you gather prayer point and your life does not reflect the testimony of those prayer points. You have wasted time. It is better to be sleeping than gathering prayer point that will not secure answer. It is better to be snoring than gathering prayer point that will not secure answer. Meaning, if you gather the prayer point, be man enough, be dogged enough, be persistent enough to stay until you secure answer to your prayers. Answer to your prayers. Abraham prevailed for Lot in Genesis 18, 22 to 33. Abraham prevailed for Lot. Moses prevailed for Israel's victory over the Amalekites. Exodus 17, 8 to 15. Epaphras prevailed for the church in Colossians. In Colossians 4, 12 to 13. He prayed. He said, till you are perfect in the will of God. Beloved, if you don't prevail in prayer, then prayer has not achieved a major objective for which it has been set out. It has not achieved a major objective that has been set out. The secret of prevailing prayer is simply to pray until the answer comes. The answer must come. The length of time is ultimately immaterial. What counts is God must answer. So it doesn't matter the time you invested. What counts is at the end of your investment, there is answer to show for your labor. At the end of your labor, there is harvest to show for your labor. In 1 Kings chapter 18, 41 to 46. 1 Kings 18, 41 to 46. In verse 41, Elijah told Ahab, he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He made a declaration. I hear the sound of abundant rain. Jesus, scripture says, Elijah went up to the hill. and told his servant. He said, go and check at the sea. And Elijah stood, took a position. The position he took was not a comfortable position. For the Bible says, he couched and he put his head beneath his knees. Meaning, when you want to prevail in prayer, you don't take a comfortable position that will make you fall asleep. You don't take a comfortable position that will let you forget what you are praying about. No, he took a position that will make him alight. He has said there is abundance of rain. Rain must show forth. Rain must come. So he began to pray. And he said, go and check. Scripture says the man checked 7 times. He went the first time. He came back. He said, any rain? He said, nothing, my Lord. He said, go back. Elijah went back. Stayed. Oh God. Oh God. Why was he asking him to go and check at the sea? Because Elijah was making a demand for evaporation to increase and for the cloud to be full and to release rain. Elijah was conjoining the formula in the place of prayer to cause evaporation to be catalyzed so that the cloud might be full and the rain may reduce. The man came again. He said, is that rain? He said, no. He said, go back. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. You pray, nothing has happened. You check, you go back to prayer. You pray, you have not seen it, you go back to prayer. You don't say, oh, no worry, it won't happen. As long as you have the promises of God, they are enough backbone to let you know that what he said, he will do. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. God is too big to lie to any man. You are too small for God to lie to. God is too big. God is not a liar. God is not a liar. Luke 11, 5 to 10. Are we together? Luke 11, 5 to 10. Importunity. Utter shamelessness. I read. And he said unto them, which of you have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh shall find, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Utter shamelessness. Somebody came to see him in the middle of the night. He didn't have food at home. So he went to meet his neighbor and began to knock. That one came and said, excuse me, I am asleep. Everybody is asleep. I'm not giving you. The man went back. Scripture says, the man will not give him because they are friends. But the fact that he refused to go, the fact that he keeps knocking unashamedly, the fact that he prevailed, his knocking will not allow him to sleep. He said, look, let me give you even more than what you need so that you can leave me alone. It is that mindset, it is that concept that we approach prayer. Not that God is so wicked that he will not give us, but God is saying, can't you stay? Even when it seems as if you are hearing a no. Stay. Why? You have the will of God to prove that what you are asking for is your right to have. You have the word of God to prove that this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So you stay. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. There are seven things they call dynamics of prevailing prayers. Meaning, what are the things that will ensure that your prayer secures answers? I don't want to waste my time praying. If I can put those things right, then I'm sure my prayer will secure answers. Those are things we'll be looking to. We'll look at 2 points today. What are the things that must be in place? What are the things that I must get right so that I don't waste my time? May I say this to us? If some of these things are not put right, attending a prayer meeting is simply a physical exercise. It's simply a physical exercise. The Bible says godliness is profitable for now and the world to come. It said bodily exercise is profitable. So when you have not put these things right and you engage in prayer, what you have done is just bodily exercise. You have just gone to the gym to exercise your body. But these times, you were gymming your mouth. You were gymming your mouth. Your party eventually will pain you. But at the end, nothing to show for it. You see, a lot of us get excited with the acrobatic of prayer. The acrobatic of prayer. Lord! Lord! He said we prayed until we were soaked with sweat. Beloved, that is not the thing. The question is, at the end, did you have answer to show for it? Did you have answer to show for it? Those days on campus, when men want to pray, after you pray to some point, the prayer is so much, we remove our shirts. Because everybody is sweating, you remove your shirts and everybody is praying. The question is, at the end of the day, after those acrobats, some people will sit on the floor, hold their two legs, pull the leg up like this and be crying. Some people will bend their head. I have a brother who will stay in one corner like this, and the way he will be shaking his head, I will be afraid that this head might fall off. Now, after all those, our passionate acrobat, and our prayer is not securing an answer, it's a waste of time. Meaning, there are things we need to get right, so that either short or long, we have answer. Meaning, it's not necessarily the length, but the intensity of that prayer. The intensity of that prayer that will secure an answer. Number one, the dynamic of prevailing prayers. Number one, approach the throne of grace with boldness. Approach the throne of grace with boldness. Approach the throne of grace with boldness. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us come to the throne of grace boldly. Because we are coming to meet our Father, the Father of all spirits. So scripture encourages us to come to the throne of grace with boldness. Now, whatever denies you of your boldness before the throne of grace denies you of answer. Denies you of answer. Whatever strips you of your confidence before the throne of grace strips you of the possibility of securing an answer. So what are the things that can deny us boldness before the throne of grace? What are the things that can strip off the confidence? You know how it is? When, as a child, I don't know if you guys experience it. When we're younger, and we need to ask daddy something. We need to ask daddy something. And you know that your own results, your report card was not good. The one after told you is not good. So we send the person that the report card is good. Because we know that daddy will hear But if you that your report card was not good, you go there and say, "And daddy, you know that." I say, "Shut up. What do you want to tell me? You want what? No, I'm not, you can't get it. Why? Go and pass first." But the person with good report card, we go and say, "Eh, daddy, I want this." And I say, "Okay, no problem." Now, daddy understands that person is not asking for himself, but he's asking for everybody. It happens in my house. When I say, "There is no TV," they will send the last one. Ayomiku, they will send that. Amiku will come and say, "Daddy, I want to ask you something. Because they know I won't tell Ayomiku, go. I said, "What is it I want to ask him?" He said, "Daddy," I said, "Is it for you or is it for your sister?" And he said, daddy, you know. Beloved, there are things that ensures that God draws us. So whatever will strip you of your boldness, will strip you of your confidence, is stripping you of the possibility of securing an answer. What are some of the things that could strip us of our boldness? I said, whatever tamper with your righteousness, tampers with your boldness. Whatever tampers with your righteousness, tamper with your boldness. Having a right standing with God is one thing, but doing right is another thing. Now, a lot of people have right standing with God in terms of, the blood of Jesus has washed me of my sin. I am in Christ, and Jesus is unto me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, because I am in Christ, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Then, when I approach the throne of grace, heaven will hear. Hear me. Right standing with God is one thing. Right doing is the real deal. Right doing is the real deal. Right standing is called righteousness. Right doing is called godliness. Righteousness is a noun. Holiness is a verb. It's a verb. So you must convert your right standing to right doing. To right doing. Proverbs 28 verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursue, but the righteous is as bold as a lion. Whatever tampers with your righteousness, tampers with your boldness. Whatever tampers with your righteousness, tampers with your boldness. In Joshua chapter 7 verse 13, Joshua 7 verse 13, after Achan sinned, if you can remember, Achan committed an error, and Joshua was wondering what was happening. God replied Joshua and told Joshua what happened. And God made a statement. He said, "All Israel, thou cannot stand before thy enemy. Why? Until you take away the accursed things from among you." You cannot stand before your enemy. As long as there is sin, as long as there is iniquity, you cannot stand before your enemy. Scripture says, having your obedience complete before you can rebuke other disobedience. Whatever tampers with your righteousness, tampers with your boldness. Whatever strip you of your boldness, strip you from the ability to receive answers in prayer. Psalm 66 verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. No matter how I scream. Remember what I said. You can have a right standing with God. But the question is, do you have a right doing with God? Does integrity mean something to you? Does not compromising attitude mean something to you? Can you say like Joseph, "How can I do this wickedness against God?" Can you say that, Joseph? Can you do like Daniel when they gave out an order that anybody that prays, they will throw him in the cell? The Bible says Daniel went to pray as his custom was often. He opened his window for everybody to see. Meaning, the law of the land will not change my conviction. Are you a man that submit to the consensus of men? because it's a popular opinion, or you submit to the convictions of God. Anything that tampers with your righteousness tampers with your ability to secure an answer in prayer. James chapter 5 verse 16b. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. I love the TPT versions. It says, for tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. It didn't say of a believer. It gave us an adjective before the believer, meaning they are ungodly believers and they are godly believers. God does not hear the prayer of a sinner. God will not hear the prayer of a sinner. He that committed sin is of the devil. Scripture says so. He that committed sin is of the devil. It doesn't matter who he is. A brother, a deacon, a pastor, a bishop, a general overseer, a pope, a husband, a wife. It doesn't matter his class. He that commits sin is of the devil. And God does not hear the prayer of his man. So the matter of sin must be taken care of. The matter of sin must be handled. The matter of godly living cannot be swept underneath the rug. It can be. Prayer is never effective until the issue of sin and ungodly lifestyle is dealt with in our lives and as an individual. You cannot be prayerful and be sinful. Those who pray more sin less. Those who pray less sin more. You cannot be prayerful and be sinful. It doesn't add up. Prayer keep people from sin, and sin keep people from prayer. Prayer keep people from sin, and sin will keep people from prayer. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. He heareth the prayer of the righteous. So wickedness is not just an act, but it's a state. It's not just an act, it's a state. Meaning a believer can be wicked. He said the prayer of the godly believer. Telling us there's difference between a carnal believer and a spiritual believer. There's a difference. There's a difference. When we're done with this topic, we're going to what I call born by the Spirit. We'll treat it as a topic and understand what spirituality is all about. Please hear me. A carnal Christian cannot go far with God. Carnality is the death of spirituality. Worldliness is the death of spirituality. And there is no devil that respects a carnal man. No devil. No devil. No devil. No devil. What makes you a voice in the spirit realm is spirituality. Is spirituality. A praying man will stop praying, will stop sinning. And a sin man will stop praying. The moment you start sinning, prayer will stop. Oh. Prayer will stop. The moment your prayer life is reducing, check it. Check your life. Because sin will strip you of the passion to pray. Sin will strip you of the passion to pray. Prayer will squeeze out the passion to sin. Prayer will change your taste bud. For thou loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your fellow. So there is a place to love righteousness. There is a place to hate iniquity. Investing time in prayer without repentance of a known or revealed sin is a wasteful venture. Is a wasteful venture. You cannot be in the lifestyle of disobedience and really pray. What you are doing is just activity. You cannot be living in disobedience and really pray. It could possible. Because prayer and sin are mutually inexclusive. They cannot flow together. Water and fire cannot stay together. It's not possible.
It's not possible. Sin will squeeze out the passion to pray. The more you pray, the less your appetite to sin. Why people don't attend prayer meeting is because of the ungodly life we live. Why? The passion for prayer is not there. We have lost the passion to pray. We only gather to pray fire upon my enemy. It is easy to pray those words. But may I tell you this? If this issue of sin is not settled, you are wasting your energy. The enemy you are praying against is who? Yourself. Yourself. You can see how damaging those prayers can be. When you are praying, Lord, avenge my adversary. God says, if I answer the prayer, you will just come and meet me here. And angel Michael and Gabriel will give you Cain. Hear me. People will be beating Cain in heaven. No, don't be deceived. People will chop Koboko in heaven. Have you not read in the Bible? He said, he that knows the will of his master and does not do it, he shall be beaten with many strokes. Angel Gabriel will hold the Koboko. I don't know the names of the angels that will hold you or hold the person. They will hold them and people will be beating Cain. Beloved, we cannot turn away our eyes and not address this. And not address this. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 25. Jeremiah 5 verse 25. He said, your iniquity have turned away these things. And your sins has withheld good things from you. Prayer attracts the power of God. But where there is a sinful life, the power of God can't stay. The power of God can't stay. Sin is an attack on your prayer life and spirituality. And it is an indirect attack on your relationship with God. Whatever tampers with your righteousness, tampers with your boldness. So it tampers with your ability to approach God. So when our prayers are not answered, the cry of our heart is, search me, O Lord. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Search me, O Lord. When your prayers are not answered, check yourself first. What is there in my life? What is wrong with my life? These days of grace messages. By the grace of God, I'm a preacher of grace. I'm a preacher of grace. But I don't know where they got their own from. Oh, I don't know where they got their own message from. Not from the same Bible I'm reading. Not from the same Bible I'm reading. One telling somebody that the only time it is fornication is if you have more than one sexual partner. That is when the Bible calls it fornication. If you just have one person, grace covers you. I don't know where, I don't know the kind of Bible they are reading. I don't know. I don't know the Bible they are reading. But this Bible I'm reading, it says, God has this sealed. He that nameth the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. Should depart from iniquity. Should depart from iniquity. He said, God's eyes are too holy to behold iniquity. Too holy to behold iniquity. Too holy to behold iniquity. So when you play with sin, you are playing with your destiny. Because the sin will find you out. It will find you out. You cannot hide it from God. We used to sing it those days. You cannot hide it from God. It is these days that it is us. Let's sing it again and remind ourselves. You cannot hide it from God. You may cover your sin so that no one may know. But what? You cannot. That's why the only answer to sin is 1 John 1:19. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no repentance, there is no forgiveness of sin without confession and repentance. There is no other way. You cannot bring a sacrifice to God and say, God, understand, It is foolishness to present a sacrifice to God when you know you are living in sin. It is called the sacrifice of a fool. Ecclesiastes 5:1. The sacrifice of a fool. For the Bible says, obedience is what? Better than sacrifice. It's better than sacrifice. So when there is wrong, is Lord, search me. What is there in my life? What am I into? Or who am I relating to that is allowing me to continually fall into sin? Beloved, grace accepts you the way you are. But hear this. Grace will never leave you the way you are. Grace accepts you the way you are. But grace will never leave you the way you are. Grace will change you. Grace will transform you. And it's from inward out, not from outward. It was inward. It changes you. It changes you from inside. There's a great change since I believe. Hear me. If there is no change since you gave your life to Christ, oh, keep born again, no matter what, you are not born again. If there is no change, if there are things you did not drop, if there are things you have not stopped doing since you gave your life to Jesus, you are not born again. Why? There must be a change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. What are the old things that have passed away in your life? Goodbye, world. I stay no longer with you. Goodbye. Pleasures of sin, I stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. Beloved, whatever tampers with your righteousness tampers with your ability to receive answers to prayer. So it must be settled first. It must be settled first. That's why when you come to God in prayer, the first thing is, Lord, the blood of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse me. Let the blood of Jesus purify me. Let the blood of Jesus, I hide under your blood. Father, what have I done? I'm sorry. Please hear me. The closer you are to God, the more repentance you do. Repentance is not just for sinners. No. Repentance is for mature believers. The closer you get to God, the more repentance, in fact, the more mercy you cry. The more mercy you cry. The Bible says God is light. He's the father of light. And he dwells in light. The closer you get to light, the more you see the spot in your clothes. The more you see that your clothes is spotted. The more you see that your garment is spotted. So what should you do? You should change the garments. Please hear me. You cannot live in Zion with the same garment of captivity. No, my brother, you must change it. When they saw Moses, they said, that is an Egyptian. Why? Because of his garment. His garment represented an Egyptian. But lo, the man was not an Egyptian. He was a Jew. Please, why would people misrepresent you? Bro, check your garments. Check your garments. What are you wearing? Or what is wearing you that is making us to misrepresent you? There was a time by dressing, by composure, you know where a believer is. We know where a believer is. Now, Abba. In fact, when some people tell you that they are Christian, you will begin to ask them, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Beloved, sin will diffuse your prayer life. Sin will dilute your prayer life. Sin will contaminate your prayer life. Sin will reduce the power of your prayer life. And sin will guarantee that your prayer does not prevail. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. The Bible says the gift and calling of God are without repentance. Meaning when you are a person of grace, when you are a person in authority, when you are a person that is called to stand before people. Now, for God's name, God will honor his name, even though you are living in sin. But hear me, not for long. Not for long. God will give you the rope. It's like this fan. Because it's connected to electricity. It's moving. Sin disconnected from electricity. Off it. Can you off it, please? Off the fan. Off it. Is it off? Is it off? But it's still rolling. It's still rolling. Has anything happened? No. But nobody is noticing. Then gradually, you begin to notice that something is wrong. Beloved, no, people may not see it immediately, but give it time, it will show. You cannot hide it from God. Give it time, it will show. And God gives you rope for what? For a man to turn to him. He said, turn at my rebuke. Turn at my rebuke. He said, I will pour my spirit upon you and I'll make my word known unto you. But hear me, you must turn at his rebuke. You must turn at his rebuke. Somebody said, God is a God of love. He cannot send anybody to hell. You are right. 100% right. God is a God of love. He cannot send anybody to hell. But hear me, anybody that goes to hell, sent himself or herself. Sent himself or herself. God has made the condition plain. I present to you life and death. Choose. Meaning people choose to go to heaven or what? Choose to go to hell. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's because we are in the time when by everybody is bullied to come to the altar to become born again. You are bullied. They steer your emotion. You are bullied and you come and you are chewing chew gum and you come to give your life to Jesus. And they draft you into the church. You are a member of a church. May I say this to you? Don't be deceived that you are a member of Redeemed Christian Church of God. Don't be deceived. The only people that will make it to heaven. Do you know their name? The redeemed. The redeemed. But being a member of the Redeemed Christian Church, of course, does not classify you to be among the redeemed. It is only being blood washed. It is only confessing and repentance that put you in that class. I know some people don't like listening to this message, but I will preach it. Because that's why so many nonsense is happening. We've condoned wrong. We've allowed it to go. And nothing has happened. Beloved, it is a fire of purity that catalyzes the force of effectual prayer. It is a fire of purity that catalyzes the force of effectual prayer. When life is void of holiness, prayer is void of power. Prayer is void of power. So there must be a yearning for perfection of holiness in the fear of the Lord. The deeper your walk with Jesus, the deeper your holiness, the deeper you go in with the Lord, the deeper you experience God. I want us to consider these three scriptures. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaketh an edge, a serpent will bite. Sin breaks the edge. Sin is a breaker of edge. God does not punish anybody with sickness or infirmity or disease. No. It is the edge that was broken that allowed the serpent to come in. It is the serpent. God's eyes are too holy to behold iniquity. Please, beloved, hear me. If the issue of sin is not dealt with, don't waste your time sweating it out in prayer. Oh Lord, oni gwe. Oro oni gwe. The heaven is closed. Because God will not hear the prayer of a sinner. Do you know the only prayer God will hear?
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
I said the deeper we are in God, the more our cry is, Lord, mercy. There was a place, God's servant, that the devil was, and they raised a prayer point. And somebody got close to sit down with him. He said, I want to know how this man will pray the prayer. The man said for 2 hours that the devil was saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. 2 hours. Lord, have mercy. You begin to wonder, hear me. Mercy is not just for forgiveness of sin. Mercy is the lifter of the weak. Mercy is the lifter of the weak. Mercy is the promoter of the voiceless. Mercy is the help of the helpless. Lord, have mercy upon me. 2 hours. Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Anything that tampers with your righteousness, tampers with your boldness. Anything that tampers with your boldness, tampers with your ability to secure answer to your prayer. Tampers with that. Proverbs 28 verse 13. I want to bring out these scriptures for us to remind ourselves. Proverbs 28 verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confess and forsake them shall have mercy. Please hear me. Don't cover your sin. Don't cover your sin. Don't cover your sin. It is shameful to live in sin and cover it. It is goodful to fall in sin and confess it. Don't. Why? You have pegged your prosperity. You'll be wondering what is going on with you. Why is your life like this? It is you that pegged your prosperity. It is you that put a full stop to your pursuit. It is you. He said, Jeremiah 5:25, he said, because of the iniquity, God, he said, the good things had been taken away from them. He that covers sin, there are some sins that you go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. There are some sins that it's not only God you go and meet, you meet the person you offended. Now, there are some sins that you don't just meet the person you offended. You come and talk to your pastor. You come and meet your pastor. That, I have done something new. Please, help me. Please help me. Please help me. I have people here under the sound of my voice. When they messed up, they called me and said, Pastor, I have people here listening to me. He's smiling at me now. Don't look at him. I broke their relationship. I told him, to your tent, O Israel. To your tent, O Israel. Let's deal with this matter. Why? The way you build your foundation. The way you build your foundation. Please listen to me. Doesn't matter how beautiful what you build on that foundation is. If the foundation is faulty, one day the wind will come. One day the rain will come. And what will happen to the house? It will fall down. It will fall down. It will fall down. There are times you just say, Lord, I've messed up. There are some, you tell them that you sinned against your partner, your spouse. You will call him or her. Sweetheart, I've messed up. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. He that confesses his sin shall have mercy. But he that covers it up, say, will not prosper. So when you think he's going forward, it's film trick. What I call it? Film trick. Film trick. Just give it time. It's film trick. It will reduce back to what it is. It's film tree. Somebody brought out a property of that they took from the ex Alex Badi. Huh? All what they gathered through illicit funds and co. And they said, oh, is his property. And I asked a question. I said, where is the man that they took the property from? Where is he? He's gone. Now, what did scripture say about that? He said, those that gather wealth through unjust means. He said, like a partridge sit upon the egg that is not his own. He said, so will they leave it in the midst of their days. And at the end, they will be called fools. Jeremiah 17:11. At the end, they will be called fools. Godliness pays. It may be slow, but it is sure. Nothing that will endure is fast. Mm-mm. Processes take time. Why? So that it will endure. The bigger the house you are building, the deeper the foundation. Ah, don't worry. When we start, you will see. But let us make sure our foundation is right. Yesterday night, I was with a group of choir in a retreat, and I was telling them, many song people come out with one song. 10 years, they've not released any other one. Why? Because the first one was by accident. It wasn't by a walk with God. But when a man has a walk with God, songs will flow like water. The Holy Spirit is the inspiration of songs. Men that are graced to stand in the place of music, once your relationship is right with God, it will flow. A good example, God's servant Paul Enetche. Do you know how many songs he has written? More than 500 songs. He wakes up in song. He sleeps in song. When he's sleeping, angels are singing song. He's writing it down. Why? In tune with God. The edge has been covered with the blood. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Whatever tampers with your righteousness, tampers with your boldness. Number two, whatever tampers with your conscience, tamper with your boldness and confidence. Whatever tampers with your conscience, tampers with your boldness and confidence. Meaning your prayer must be from a pure heart, a right conscience. This is why the scripture says, settle all misgivings with people when you come to the altar. Bible says when you bring your sacrifice to the altar, he said, what do? If you remember that you have offended against somebody, he said, leave it there. He said, go back and resolve the matter before you come back. Why? God says, if you stay, you are wasting your time. There was a period in my life I had a very serious challenge. Some of us were aware for 40 days. A conspiracy was raised against me to take me off circulation. For 40 days, I was locked up in a cell. 40 days. Now, while there, I was angry, I was bitter, and I was already, you know, I said, okay, the person that did this had money. I don't have money, but I have spiritual money. So I said, he has money. I have spiritual prowess. He said, I will show him who has more. So I was sitting with the book of Psalms and I was conjuring concussions. Some deadly, acidic, corrosive concussions. I was ready to just go on a 7 days and shoot those arrows at every direction. One of those days I was sitting down reading Romans chapter 13, I got to a point and the Lord says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I just No, I just read it. I went to chapter 14. I could not continue reading. The Holy Ghost brought me back there. I said, Lord, no. He said, forgive. I said, forgive what? I said, Lord, no. I'm not going to forgive. Why should I forgive? He has proved he has something. He said, Lord, I've worked with you for more than 30 years. I have gathered something. Let me to show him what I have. I said, Lord, no. Vengeance is mine. For up to 1 hour, I was battling with the Holy Ghost. I was weeping. I was weeping. He said, vengeance is mine. He took me to Matthew 5:44. He said, when men despitefully use you, I said, Lord, that is what they've done. He said, forgive. I said, why? He said, so that you shall be the son of your father in heaven. He said, if you don't forgive, you are not my son, you're a bastard. I said, Lord, these people, this plot is to destroy me. This plot is to rubbish everything I stand for all my life. This is a conspiracy to rubbish my name. I said, and the Lord said, forgive. Then the Lord, very humorous, the Lord asked a question. He said, who was holding the people of Israel down? I said, Lord, it's Pharaoh now. It's Pharaoh. He now asked another question. He said, who hardened the heart of Pharaoh? At that point, I laughed. I said, Lord, it's you. And he asked the third question. He said, what happened to Pharaoh? So at this point, I smiled. And I said, Lord, I forgive. I thought it was over. He now said, begin to pray for them. Ah! I said, Holy Ghost. Don't go there. Pray for who? He said, begin to pray for them. For it was when Job prayed for his friend that God turned his captivity around. So I began to pray for them. Lord, help them. Lord, lift them. Lord, assist them to recover their money. Lord, sort them out. Lord, let everything be. I began to pray for them. From my heart. Not from my mouth. Heart. When I said the first one, Holy Ghost said, you didn't mean that one. You didn't mean it. Say it. A minute. After I released them, God showed up. God sent help from quarters that my hand could not reach. God sent help. Those that have perfected plan to destroy, God am twisting them. God served them a joker. And we came out. Beloved, hear me. Anything that disturbs your conscience will affect your boldness. Settle the matter. Settle the matter in your conscience. Hear what Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Acts 24, verse 16. He says, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Towards God and towards men. God is greater than your conscience. So if your heart, your conscience condemn you, meaning God condemns you. So whatever pricks your conscience, attend to it. Because when you stand in prayer, it will say how far you can go in the place of prayer. It will say how far you can pursue in the place of prayer. Beloved, God wants to answer our cry. God wants to visit us. God wants to turn our stories around. But God needs us to cooperate with him. God needs us to cooperate with him. God needs us to cooperate with him. I don't know the class you fall into, but we're going to ask God to help us. So that we will not waste our time. We will not waste our energy. We will not exert ourselves. Have you read it in your Bible? When the Bible was talking about the husband and the wife? When scripture says, deal with your wife with knowledge, knowing that she's of a weaker vessel. And God placed a clause there. He said, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Telling you that wrongdoing to your spouse can hinder your prayers. Can hinder your prayers. Some men, you do things, you hide it from your wife. You don't want her to know. Don't worry. God is waiting for the day you come to your sense that your brain will reset and you will join hand with that woman in agreement for God to step in. God is waiting for your medulla oblongata to be reset. Some, you think you can just, scripture says, because they're a weaker vessel, I have put a clause that for you as a man, if you mistreat her, just know that you are pegging your progress. So that your prayers will not be hindered. Is it a matter of sin? Is it a matter of an habitual sin? Scripture talks about weights and sin that so easily beset us. There are things that we keep stumbling into. We keep stumbling into it. And the enemy has told us, don't worry, you need to live with it till you die. It is a lie. You can be delivered. How? Lord, this is me. Deliver me. Lord, this is my life. Deliver me. Lord, help me so that this thing will not mess me up. Let me share this story, then we'll pray. I said that I won't teach too much for the next 1, 2, probably 3 months. We'll spend some time to pray and we'll minister to the needs of people as God gives us grace. I've been sharing this thing for a while, but let me share it with us to help somebody. To let us know that this our journey is not a joke. The visionary of Redeemed Christian Church of God, Pa Akindayomi, when he walked with God, the Lord assured him certain things that must happen for him to know that he's coming to the end of his ministry and the end of his time. Now, when the last one happened, he began to tell people that he will soon be taken away. And obviously, people said, lie, this and this. Prayer band was raised and they were praying, binding and losing. In fact, they were doing it in his room until the man told them, please, just go outside. Then what he said happened. He slept, he didn't wake up. But the strange thing was that all his vitals showed that he was dead, but his body was warm. His body was not cold. Days, he was warm. So they kept praying, believing that something was happening. He eventually came back to life. And he now explained to them the mystery that they saw. He said he had gotten to heaven and an angel met him. And an angel showed him his mansion, showed him everything. And he was ready to enter the gate. And the angel said, no, you cannot. He said, no, you cannot come in. He said, why? He said, you can't come in. He said, why can't I come in? He said, because there's unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. He said, where? He said, as he was about to talk, the flash came, he remembered. What happened? Years ago, when the ministry just started, his passion to reach out to the lost made him to begin to print tracts. So in one of those ventures, his only car, he sold it and poured the money into making tracts. And I think he added international to the name of the church. The head of the church he was heard about it, summoned him, and asked him to bring all the tracts. So he brought the tracts, thinking probably those people would just tell him that they will use it, he will not be the one. But right there in his presence, they poured kerosene and they burnt the tracts. And he got angry. He got bitter and he left. He didn't address the matter again. He thought it was over. Until when they got to the gate of heaven. God said there's bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. Do you mean a servant of God can do so much for God and yet there can be bitterness and anger and Eru Olorun ba mi. Eru Olorun ba mi o. This God. When he came back, he now wrote a letter to the man, Pashokoya, that he forgive him for what he did, that he has released him. And he explained to him his own encounter. Pashokoya said, if the man that we burnt his track, God dealt with him like this, so what will happen to us that burned the track? What will happen to us that burnt the track? So this little thing that we think does not matter, God is telling us, mind your conscience. Anything that prick your conscience, bring it before God. Anything that the Holy Ghost brings up in the place of prayer, bring it before God. All this one that you'll be doing strong head, look, weep like a baby. Let muko come out of your nose. God, I'm sorry, deliver me, help me. Please hear me. Heaven is real and hell is real. All these things is not play-o. All this thing is not joke-o. All this thing is not looking for something to do. If I was looking for something to do, I won't leave my banking career-o. So it's not looking for something to do. I need us to understand that God means business. God means business. Before we go into some other prayers, I'll give us 5 minutes to take a position that is comfortable and talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. 5 minutes. It starts now. Just talk to the Lord.
Psalm 68, verse 11. The Lord gave a word, and great is the multitude of them that published it, raising the people of grace and power with passion for the word and service, making a difference in their words. Attend Friday Sermon as we toast in Afini and experience a grounding into the truth of the word of God. Friday Sermon is an outreach to individuals, campuses, fellowships, and churches, positioned to revive, emancipate, empower, equip, and to mentor people to walk in greater maturity of the Word of God, character, holiness, and anointing of the Holy Ghost through teachings and demonstration of the power of God. And for more inquiry, you can contact us on 080-2376-4285 or 080-2305-7084. You can also email us at myfreshwater@gmail.com and our Facebook www.facebook.com/myfreshwater. You can as well tweet at us at tfinney. Pray, plan, and prepare to attend Fresh Oil Seminars with Tosin Afini, and your life will never remain the same.